This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's You Better You Bet on the BetQL Audio Network.
Costos and Will Brinson here with you on a magnificent May Monday. Awesome show so far. Dennis Bernstein was magnificent with us in the last segment, breaking down the Stanley Cup playoffs, giving us some bets for Tuesday, giving us some bets from Wednesday. Unfortunately, I think all three of us here, like Will's Carolina Hurricanes, take down my New York Rangers in the second round of the NHL postseason. We'll get back to the National Football League as we move along. We'll give you our baseball bets for tonight as we move along and our takes on the four series in the NHL and the two series in the NBA coming up in the final hour of the show, which, of course, is the Power Hour. But joining us right now, long overdue for him to join us here on You Better You Bet, one of my favorite people in the industry, one of Will Brinson's favorite people in the industry, the ultra-talented, the charismatic, the enthusiastic, the awesome Bill Ryder joins us here on You Better You Bet. Bill, of course, is the host of CBS Sports Radio, Ryder Than You, one of the lead NBA anchors for CBS Sports HQ, doing a lot of great stuff over for our friends over at CBS. He is on Twitter, at Sports Ryder. Ryder spelled like his last name, R-E-I-T-E-R. Bill, it's Nick and Will. Happy Monday, my friend. How you doing?
Costos and Brinson, it should be a buddy. It should be a buddy flick. I'm great now that I'm hanging out with you guys. What's up?
A buddy cop drama, like a cop, like dramedy, like a comedy drama type thing where Nick's bad cop, I'm good cop, Nick's good cop. I like it. And well, and Bill comes in as the voice of reason or something like that. What's up, man?
What's up, buddy?
How do you feel about Chris Paul losing last night?
I mean, I would never lie to either of you. It was, I found it to be a beautiful and wonderful moment in my life. If I'm being honest with you, look, you know this guy, I don't like Chris Paul. He doesn't like me. I'll tell you this, last year I had a ticket on the Suns to win the whole thing going back to midway through the year. And I rooted for them with my heart and soul. And when they, and I had hedged it a little, but when they lost, I lost money in the finals and it still felt good.
That's how you know you really, really don't like a player when you're fighting. It's like when, I had a 92-1 on Chapel Hill to win the title this past year before the ACC tournament. And it was like they lost the championship, and I was still like, oh, sorry, you know, I kind of wanted the money, but heels lost. I can live with it. What do you make of like the possibility of Luka completely changing everything that we might think about him in terms of like he just wins a title this year? I mean, because it's viable, and he wins a title this year, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, we don't need to put anything else around him. He doesn't need that big man down there. He's just going to be a monster for the rest of his career.
Yeah, I think it is viable, and I think it's – and if he does that, even if he makes the finals, guys, I think it's on LeBron territory in terms of what he's able to carry by himself. And if you look at the numbers, now he's got, I think it's 23 postseason games in his career, so it's not the world's biggest sample size, and they haven't made deep runs, so obviously the opposition hasn't grown increasingly more difficult the way it has for, say, Jordan. But his averages are better than any player in the history of the NBA in the playoffs. And the only person who approaches sort of the numbers and the analytics of Luka, again, in just his 23 postseason games, is Michael Jordan. So if Luka, again, is, I don't know, 39-8 in this series and shoots relatively efficiently, even if they just, say, push it to 6, I think we have reached a new era. And the question becomes not what do you have to put around him to win, but what is the minimum you have to put around him to win? Because he might be like LeBron, and maybe he'll just do it this year, good enough to carry 70 or 80% of the load to an NBA championship.
Yeah, I said earlier in the show, I think there's a realistic chance that like 6 weeks from now, like the conversation is not like who's the second best player in the league and Giannis is first. It might just be like Luka Doncic is just the best player in basketball. And we're seeing some early money, Bill, come in on the Dallas Mavericks coming up for game one on Wednesday night against the Golden State Warriors. This was 5, like literally like a half an hour ago in real time as we do the show. The numbers now moved to 5. Golden State's a 5-point favorite in game number 1. Again, that's coming up on Wednesday night. Dubs minus 200 on the money line. Mavs plus 160. 165. Total in the game sitting at 214.5. So kind of like your thoughts here on game number one, how the Warriors can try and slow down Luka Doncic, and how you see the series playing out as well with Golden State and Dallas. Golden State, obviously, a big favorite to win the series at more than 2-1.
Yeah, and I think there's – so I'm going to pass on betting the actual series, although I think there's a little value in Dallas. And I haven't bet anything on game one. I'm going to sort of see where the number goes. I might actually bet the under just because of the nerves of that situation and my curiosity about whether or not Luka continues to slow the game up, which he does when he sort of takes over and his usage rate goes from, say, 30% to the 42% it's been at times and crunch time in the postseason. I think Dallas has a puncher's chance in this for a couple reasons. One – and I was talking to a scout today about this who worked for, sort of adjacent to the Warriors. The notion that Golden State has played with its food the first couple rounds, and that maybe Clay and Steph and company have the line between good arrogance and bad arrogance has been exceeded. And this scout agrees that that's the case. I think there's a chance, because we saw this from Golden State in the first two series, that they just don't take the Mavericks as seriously as they should. And we know that Memphis missed a couple opportunities to win games like that, including the Ja Morant layup on the left side. I think the Mavs can win one of the two games. And so I think the question is, like, which game do you think that is? For me, it's game one. I'll probably bet on Dallas and take the points. But I think it absolutely depends on two things. Do the Warriors come out and treat this opponent like they're an equal, which I don't know if they'll do? And do you believe that some of those Maverick shooters are going to be able to handle a very different defense and a very different level of experience and pressure on the road? We know role players don't usually shoot well on the road, and the Mavericks have to make at least 14 three-point shots a game in aiding Luka to get it done. So it's a close call for me, but I think Dallas has a puncher's chance, guys, to be in the game.
So I'm trying to think from like examining maybe even the prop market. Like, do you think that Steph and Clay come out and maybe aren't focused enough to make three-pointers or to go under their point totals, Bill? I also sort of wonder if, like, the criticism of them from the last series against Memphis of playing with their food, of, you know, like, everybody wanted to bet against them with the Suns. Maybe they're motivated by that criticism. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I was sort of talking to sources today about, and people who would know firsthand more than I do what goes on day-to-day with that organization. And I can tell you that there's a concern that the Warriors are going to do that, and there's a belief they're going to win notwithstanding. Even the people I talk to associated with or around the Warriors who don't think it's acceptable also don't think it's a big deal. So to me, that whole organization, to what I'm hearing, guys, isn't taking the Mavericks very seriously, and there might be a chance in the first couple games in the Bay to find some value with the Mavericks playing it closer than they otherwise might. I think what I'm hearing, and what's more likely, is the Warriors really kick into overdrive game three, game four, whenever it starts to feel serious for them.
That is very interesting, and I love that Bill used the word serious, because late last week when Will and I did the show on Thursday, like, I described the Warriors as like an unserious basketball team with the way that, like, they handled game, like getting blown out in game number five and Draymond dancing like with the crowd when they're down by 50 points. So I agree with Bill there, and when Bill says he's got sources, he's talking to people, like, everyone needs to listen. Bill, ridiculously plugged in the NBA. Will and I know that firsthand from the time we spent working with Bill. Bill is our guest at this time, at sports writer on Twitter, host on CBS Sports Radio, does a great job for our friends over at CBS Sports HQ. You better, you bet. Nick Costos, Will Brinson on this magnificent May Monday on the BetQL Network. Bill, let's move to the Eastern Conference Final now with Miami and Boston. Boston's the favorite in the series, about minus 170. Heat plus 140. We know Kyle Lowry extremely unlikely to play in Tuesday night's game number one, where the Heat 1.5-point favorites, total in the game sitting at 203.5. So kind of your overarching thoughts on the Eastern Conference Final now with Miami holding home court against the Celtics.
Yeah, I think the Celtics are huge favorites here, and I think that's where the value is. Now, I'm in a unique position where I have a ticket for the Heat that is fairly sizable at 12-1, so I'm trying to sort of figure out what to do with that, because I don't think it's likely Miami will advance. What I'm probably going to do is hammer the Celtics in every game where they're an underdog. I mean, I would love a Miami Heat one-point win tomorrow, but I think for people that are listening, and it's not a sexy bet and the odds aren't great, I just don't see a scenario outside of injury where the Celtics are anything worse than, say, 70% to win this series. We've seen their ability with markedly superior offensive opposition to isolate stars they're playing against defensively and to confound whoever the main guy is. They did that perfectly against the Nets. Kyrie had some games, but they confounded him at times, and Kevin Durant was, I mean, he was useless in that series, and some of that might be Durant getting old or whatever was going on. But a lot of it was just the defensive approach and the length and the just the tactical, I think maybe genius of their head coach. They did that against, to a degree, against the Milwaukee Bucks. I know there was no Chris Middleton. The Heat have Jimmy Butler who can get buckets, and that's it. If you're relying on Max Strus or Tyler Hero, and I love Victor Oladipo as a person in the story, or Victor Oladipo to be the secondary scorer, I think you're in big trouble. And the Heat's ability and game plan to basically win games 93-82 is not going to work against a Celtics team that is superior defensively. So for me, my overarching take is Jimmy Butler overs. The Celtics are going to win that series. And I think you're probably going to see a whole lot of defense, and Miami struggle to score in at least two or three of those games.
Yeah, the one thing, we had Drew Dinsick on earlier, and he was pointing out the rest factor here, Bill, where it makes Miami look like a pretty good bet in game one. And just because, you know, Boston just got done with that, you know, grinder of a series against Giannis and company. Do you think maybe if Miami comes out and wins game one, then it's the time to look at taking the Celtics series price after it gets down to a much more manageable sort of point? And I mean, you may be thinking about doing that yourself as a holder of a very nice 12-1 Heat ticket.
Yeah, I feel a lot smarter than I should. Better to be lucky than good. No, I think it's a really smart play. And again, there are just some rules that hold when, especially in the NBA, especially in the playoffs, role players don't shoot particularly well on the road. Just over a large sample size, you look like longitudinal data. I mean, you're talking about, I think, the best opportunity for the Heat to look like the better team is in game one. And maybe in game two, but the Celtics have been by far, and I love Eric Spoelstra. I covered him. I think he's an incredible coach. The Celtics have been by far the best game-to-game team in terms of making adjustments and having those be remarkably impactful to the tune of 2 or 3 or 5 points per game. So I'm with you. I think the Heat probably are going to have the best opportunity they have to look like the better team in game one, and I think it goes downhill from there. I think the series could be over. I mean, I'll say six. But I could certainly see Miami winning one of those games at home and then just the wheels coming off.
As of right now, your NBA Finals matchup is what? And who wins the Larry O'Brien Trophy?
So, it's Warriors Celtics. And I think the Celtics are by far the best team in the NBA. They have the best net rating this lap. They have the best offensive and defensive rating in combination. I think it's 23 of the last 25 teams that have won an NBA championship had a top 10 offensive and defensive rating. The teams that are left that fit that are the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. That's it. It's both the teams in the East. I'll go. Yeah. I mean, I'm actually thinking, what are the Celtics right now, guys? Like plus, are they 4-1 to win the whole thing?
I think plus 120. Oh, the Celtics are 2-1. Excuse
Celtics
me.
Celtics are plus 200. Warriors plus 120. The Heat are 4-1. The Mavericks are 6.
4-1. I mean, I'm going to, yeah, 2-1 is probably not a good enough number. I think the Celtics are going to play the Warriors, but I'll say this, when we talked about this, I think Luka's the best player that remains in the NBA playoffs, so that is a huge, huge wild card. That's a huge X factor, and I think the Celtics are by far the best team. I believe in Jason Tatum. I believe in that group. They've been to conference finals together, he and Jaylen Brown, but it is a different thing when you're on the doorstep of an NBA final. So if you think experience and recent experience and coaching experience has an advantage, Eric Spoelstra, Jimmy Butler, those guys in the bubble a year and a half ago, there's value in the Heat. I think it'll be Celtics-Warriors, and I think Boston will win that thing in 6 or 7 games.
If Boston does win the NBA championship, Jason Tatum, the favorite to be Finals MVP. Curry's the favorite, but I'm giving the Boston players here. Tatum at plus 250, Jaylen Brown at 25-1, Marcus Smart at 60. Is it Tatum, or could you make the case for anyone else on Boston potentially winning Finals MVP?
Yeah, I think it'll be Jason Tatum. I think in order for Boston to do what they're going to do, and I think they will, I think he's got to have he'll average 28 or 29 or 30 points a game in an NBA Finals. If they win that thing, he'll have at least one huge game. I think if you think Boston's going to win the whole thing, Tatum's an interesting bet. I think it goes through him. I think there's a Jaylen Brown possibility, but I think it's one of those two guys.
How excited are you right now to bet NFL week number one with all the spreads out there?
Oh my God, dude. So I actually need to get each of your like number, your totals, because I bet the totals for every team every year because I like feeling stupid in January, but I'm ready. I'm ready for a turn. I'm so ready. I got my bankroll lined up. It's been a better year than it should have been. My wife doesn't know where the money's stored or that I have it. As long as she's not listening to this, I'm ready to go.
That's a very like Breaking Bad, like a Bill Reiner, aka Heisenberg, like hiding the money in a crawl space here to bet on the NFL coming up in week number one and for the rest of the season. I look forward, my friend, to having many discussions with you about the NFL this offseason and heading into the season. You need to check out Bill on Twitter if you haven't already, at SportsWriter, R-E-I-T-E-R. You got to check him out on CBS Sports Radio, writer than you, a fantastic show. Will and I known to pop on every once in a while. Bill is absolutely fantastic. And please check Bill out. Best NBA coverage out there. The guy is super connected, knows his stuff. On CBS Sports HQ. My friend, we really appreciate it. Wishing you the best of luck with all the bets, and we look forward to doing this again in the near future.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Bye, Bill. See you
here on You Better, You Bet. Celtics, man. I don't know. As a Knicks fan, I feel like I'd be sick if the Celtics won, but yeah,
as
maybe.
As a Celtics better, I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. What he said there about the Warriors and the people that, because Bill is plugged in when it comes to the NBA, like knows everybody, they're not taking it seriously, man. We said this last week. Maybe the rest of it, I don't know. I'm going to bet Dallas.
I mean, I can absolutely see, by the way, Kyle Lowry out for game one.
Ruled officially. So officially out Kyle Lowry for game one.
Yeah, not a surprise. I mean, I can absolutely see the Warriors coming in and like, not being ready to, they're like, we'll just double Luka, bro. Like, it's fine. Like, we don't, yeah. Like, what was it Pat Bev said? He's like, he's like, you know, if I'm playing Steph Curry, I go to bed at 8 p.m. I'm playing Chris Paul. You know, it's like, I don't think about going to bed.
He goes on drinking, gets a little sweated.
Yeah, he's like, I don't even call my girl if I'm playing Steph Curry. He's like,
Quick break. On the other side, we turn our attention back to the National Football League, week number one.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.